On the 22nd of February, 1997, in a world first, researchers at the Roslin Institute, not far from here, where we're sitting in Edinburgh, announced that they had taken the DNA from the skin cells of an adult sheep, and they had inserted it into an egg cell, also from a sheep, from which they had removed its own DNA first. They put that egg cell back into the uterus of a surrogate or parent sheep, and subsequently a lamb called Dolly was born. And Ian Wilmot, who's sitting next to me, was the person who led the team that made that possible. Ian, it's a huge privilege to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
It's a point which is very, very important to make. You need a crew of something like 12 or 15 people to do this sort of experiment. So to say I did it would be seriously misleading.
Why did you start with sheep, though?
Well, Roslin Institute has always been concerned with farm animals. And if you were thinking of using cloning in a farm animal species, either to improve their performance or to increase numbers, the species with the greatest commercial interest would be the cow. But cattle are extremely expensive to buy, to maintain, and they have a very long gestation. So that if you're doing an experiment where you transfer embryos, as you said, into a foster mother, you've got to wait 10 months or whatever it is before you know the answer to the experiment. By comparison, sheep are much easier to look after. They're a lot smaller, for one thing. They're cheaper, and their gestation is less than half that of cattle. So it was really thinking that sheep are small, cheap cows was the reason why we chose it.
How did Dolly go down? Were you sort of celebrated, and did you get a good reception to what you announced you'd done, or did you face quite a bit of controversy?
We got an enormous amount of publicity, of course, and a lot of scepticism. Some people doubted whether Dolly was really a clone. If you explain to people the reason why you're doing this sort of thing, the majority would become supportive, but a small proportion would be hostile to experiments with animals.
And some people expressed concern that perhaps there would be accelerated aging and that kind of thing on the part of Dolly. Was that borne out by experimentation?
It's actually very difficult to do the experiments in sheep. It's much easier to do them in mice, where you really do have a shorter generation interval and lifespan. I don't think that there is any evidence of this, but it's quite a difficult and expensive experiment to do. You know, if you have to produce another generation and wait, to see if you're changing lifespan or not.
Because there's a recent paper in one of the Nature journals where they actually got the skeleton of Dolly and CT scanned, because one of the criticisms had been that there was premature arthritis. And did they not find from these studies that actually there was no evidence really that there was an accelerated rate of arthritis? She didn't really show any signs of that compared with, say, a sheep born the normal way.
I think that's right. Accelerated aging was just a very slick journalistic expression to indicate that things were not quite right. But I don't think there's ever been really good, clear data about the aging of cloned animals.
What would you like to see the long-term outcome be? If you could now wave a magic wand and we'd be in a certain position or know a certain thing, what is the final big question that you would like to see answered now?
The general understanding before Dolly was that once a cell had formed a particular type, it couldn't change or be changed artificially by us. What Dolly showed was that it is possible to change cells. And we had mammary cells, which became equivalent to embryo cells, and we got viable, normal offspring. And this has created important new opportunities in medicine. What it means is that if we have somebody who, let's say, has motor neuron disease, which reflects damage to nerves that run down the spine, if we take skin cells from them, we can treat them so that they become equivalent to embryo stem cells, the cells which have the ability to form any different tissue, and then change them into the cells which are damaged in the disease. And for the first time, we have cells which are equivalent to those in early stages of motor neuron disease. So if you've got a disease of the central nervous system, you can't have samples from a patient like that until they've passed away. And by then, there may be many secondary effects of the disease. Now, in this new situation, you can use them to test drugs which may be effective in slowing down or even preventing motor neuron disease. I personally have Parkinson's disease, so there is a chance of the same thing happening for that disease. And I think that Unexpectedly, the Dolly experiment has revolutionized the approach to these inherited diseases. I really do genuinely believe that treatments will come along, but it may very well be 50 years before the treatment becomes routinely available. So people like me will probably have died of Parkinson's disease before the new treatments become available, which is a frustrating thing to think.
But thank you very much for opening that door for everyone worldwide anyway, and opening a door on what you did in the 1990s, Ian. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you very much, Ian Wilmore.